You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening, I'm Al Vohner, and this is this week's edition of The Public Eye. So nice to have you all with us. Hey, most of you remember, at least I do as a kid, The Muppets. Something that has been, a stalwart in the lives of young people and even adults for decades now. In fact, the creator, Jim Henson, created The Muppets way back in 1955, if I have my information correct. But this week, my guest is Natasha Lance Rogoff, and she is the author, first of all, a TV producer and author of the new book, Muppets in Moscow, Sesame Street in Russia. And we'll be talking with Natasha for the next half hour about her efforts, the work, and the challenges of putting on The Muppets Show in a foreign nation. And I think most of you are well aware of the turmoil going on between Russia and Ukraine. Not that that interrupted Natasha's work, but we'll talk to her about how difficult it is working with a foreign government and a foreign nation in trying to put these efforts forward. Hey, Natasha, nice to have you with us.
Hello, Al. Thanks for having me.
This is. I think most people think, I remember the Muppets when I was a kid. Yeah, I saw them in New York or I saw them in Boston. But even when I saw the book come across my desk, I'm thinking, Muppets in Moscow? I mean, first of all, the Muppets, are they known throughout the globe?
So Sesame Street has international co-productions around the world, and they have for many years. Many people don't know about that. But that's what I'm learning as I'm going around the country talking about my book. I'm surprised because, you know, when I was working for Sesame Workshop, you know, the creators of Sesame Street, this was more than 30 years ago. So I had kind of assumed people knew that, but it turns out not. And these productions are tailored for the different countries. To reflect their own unique culture and values. So they have some of the Muppets that are familiar to Americans and many English-speaking countries, but they also have newly designed original Muppets that are, derived from their own culture, and they look entirely different.
I would assume, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that regardless of where you go in the country, in the world, especially younger audiences, this is very appealing. The Muppets bring happiness. There's joy. There's a lot of energy in the productions. So I think even to a foreign audience, it's something very welcoming, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the Muppets. I'm particularly talking about the Sesame Street Muppets, and those puppets are really embraced, all over the world. And in the case of Russia, in our program, which is called Ulitsa Sezam, which means Sesame Street in Russian, and the show was a huge hit and then lasted for over 10 years, well into Putin's era. So, I meet Russians and Ukrainians and Georgians because our show aired across the former Soviet Union. So this is across 11 time zones, so across 1/7 of the world's surface. Yeah. And these people that I meet, I'll often say, and I'll, sometimes be like, oh, by the way, do you know the show that I helped create, Ulitsa Sezam? And they'll often, burst into song from the show, or they'll start laughing and tell me which is their favorite, Muppet. And in their case, it's a Slavic Muppet. And that happened the other day in a hair salon, where the person who was helping me had come to the United States from Georgia a few years earlier.
This is amazing because, like I said, most people think, well, you know, it's got the American, you know, we created it. So, you know, because there are cultural differences, it might not go over. But, you know, as I thought about it, I'm thinking, you know, everybody wants to be entertained. Everybody wants a diversion from everyday strife and things going on in their life. But more importantly, getting to the point, how did you end up even thinking about putting a production in Russia? Was this something that you personally, you know, had in the back of your mind, or did the Russians come to you?
Not at all. that would be kind of funny. No, the Senator Biden had spearheaded congressional approval for the original Russian language production. And the idea was that the Muppets would be ideal ambassadors of idealistic values like tolerance, compassion, team building, working together. You know, and the idea was that, you know, we could help the society. This was 1990s, and when Sesame Street first tapped me to help them bring the show to Russia and adapt it for post-Soviet children, you know, I really didn't have much children's television experience and had been a serious documentary filmmaker. So I had just finished a film after embedding with conservative fascists who were desperate not to have the Soviet Empire fail. And that film had predicted the coup of 1991. So I had been on national television in the U.S. And then two Sesame Street executives approached me and asked me to help them after seeing my film. So I said to them, did you just watch my film? Because it was a dark film.
Yeah.
And I thought, the Muppets, you know, they're, you know, so upbeat and wholesome and lovely and funny. And they said yes, we did, but you know, we're really looking for somebody who has experience with Russian television. And so I went down to their office in New York City, and I was completely hooked, because what Sesame Street does around the world that I learned at that point was incredibly ambitious, you know, to change the way children think. And in the case of Russia, you know, the prospect of, you know, having the Muppets be part of introducing new values and ideas to Russia that are developed with experts, child education experts from all over the former Soviet Union, so that the content is really theirs. And if you saw the Russian show, you would say, oh, it looks like Sesame Street, but it's so different because it feels very Russian,
right?
Down to the characters, the set design. The set is different. It's not an urban setting, you know, based on Harlem in New York City.
Right.
So every international co-production has a different set, and it's all based on a open, you know, some place where people can gather and communicate. You have a neighborhood. So the Mexican show is a plaza. The Norwegian show is a train station. The South African show is a marketplace. And in Russia, it's a courtyard.
See, I think that's wonderful, because one, I want to say it guarantees acceptance, but the familiarity of it, something that they relate to, helps to sell the entire package, does it not?
The familiarity of
the backdrop when you went to Russia, you know, the characters, the backdrop. It wasn't Harlem; it was someplace that Russian people would be familiar with. So right off the bat, it helps them to be more accepting of the fact that these folks came over from the U.S. and it's a production, you know, based on the Muppets created in the U.S. But you know what? They were able to do it in such a way that, you know, it kind of meld with our with our culture, and something that was easily recognizable to us. So I think it makes for a better sell rather than going in there and, as you said, depicting Harlem, people would be going, what are they talking about?
Yeah. But there were also, I mean, after the Soviet Union's access to Western media was very limited until the late, you know, mid to late 1980s. And, you know, most people were watching Russian state television. So when we brought the idea of producing Sesame Street to Russian broadcasters and sponsors, there were enormous obstacles, you know, including, you know, just to mention the, you know, our first sponsor who wanted to produce the show, he was blown up in a car bombing and was nearly killed.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, not 9 months later, our broadcast partner who was going to broadcast the show was assassinated after leaving the TV station. And he was an incredible man trying to change Russia for the better and bring a free press to Russia and challenge corruption inside the TV station. So this period that we, you know, when we first came to Russia trying to bring the idea of Sesame Street, you know, not importing the show, but really adapting the show to their society and working with over 400 artists, puppeteers, writers, producers, animators, set designers. You know, there were so many obstacles, not only the violence, but also, you know, heated cultural battles about, you know, what Russian Sesame Street should teach post-Soviet children.
Right, right. I don't think people take that into consideration. They just think, oh, you know, they took it overseas and, you know, I'm sure audiences were accepting of that. No, cultural differences, and as you said, in a country such as Russia, where everything is closely analyzed, certainly made it more of a challenge. I just want to take a quick pause to remind listeners that you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Voner, and this is this week's edition of The Public Eye. My guest this week is TV producer and author Natasha Lance Rogoff. Her book is Muppets in Moscow, and Natasha, as we're talking about, brought the production, the U.S. production of the Muppets to Russia, and is talking about the challenges of just getting the everything up and running. And Natasha, what that brings me to the fact that, okay, so it sounds like the government more than anyone else was where the barriers were. They were very, I guess, like anything else that you'd want to bring or import to Russia. A lot of scrutinizing about, you know, what message are you, why are you over here, what do you want from us? But it sounds like the people that you worked with, the artists and, you know, the people part and parcel of the production, they were on board. So would you say that it was mainly the government that stood in your way?
I wouldn't say that. We initially, you know, we were working in a society that was falling apart. You know, you had countries that were breaking off from the former Soviet Union, like Ukraine, and becoming independent. Mm-hmm. And the center of the government was very weak at that time. It was also a period of astounding turmoil, uncertainty. People didn't know what would come next. They were trying to, wrench themselves out of 70 years of communism and try to build a new society. One young woman, she said, when she was reading the book, she said, it reminds me of the premise of every YA dystopian novel. And I thought that was fascinating because that's exactly what it felt like, you know, being inside trying to make this show. And we weren't working only with the government. We were trying to create a new independent infrastructure for media, which is, you know, was the goal from the beginning, so that we were working with independent people. But, you know, this is a society of artists also that had lived under communism for 70 years, not under democracy for 200 years.
Right.
So their perspectives were very different.
Yeah.
And it was also very painful for them, you know, to deal with the past, any discussion of the past. So, for example, when we talked about the Muppets and creating original Muppets for their show, you know, the initial response from the creative team was, you know, we don't really want your Muppets. We have our own puppet tradition dating back to the 16th century, and we want to use our puppets in our Sesame Street show. So that was one, you know, scenario. And that went on to a further discussion where they wanted to use puppets that were based on Russian folklore. And, you know, one of the writers suggested, why don't we have Baba Yaga, you know, a witch who eats children? So, you know, they had me meet their top puppet designer, who was truly talented, but he took out two puppets from a sack and immediately proceeded to have them in a fight with one puppet yelling, "I'm going to kill you," and everybody was laughing. And all I could think about was, well, this kind of puppet on puppet violence isn't very much Sesame Street like.
I would say not.
Yeah. So, but eventually that changed, and they created the most incredible puppets, like the puppet that's the full body puppet, like he replaces Big Bird in their show, is a giant blue furry hound-like creature who's based on this character from Russian folklore called Domovoy. And he's the spirit of the hearth and the home who protects the home. And he lives in nature. So in our show, this enormous character lives inside a tree. And he has all sorts of abstract characteristics, like he can smell music. So that's very Russian.
Yeah, but it sounds like they turned a corner and realized that, you know, in order to leave a lasting impression, one, it has to be wholesome, and two, it has to be upbeat, and not where one is beating on the other or one eating the other one. I don't think I'd be in too hurry to see that either. Let me ask you, going back to something you said earlier about the dangers. In some cases, people actually lost their life in trying to get everything put together. Did you ever fear for yourself?
I did. There were certain points at which I felt like I was just too close, you know, too close to where somebody had been killed. You know, it was like one step removed type of situation. And, you know, in the book, I talk about the book also is a love story and it's a memoir. So it also deals with, meeting my husband and then getting married, and I was also pregnant for the last part of the production and during the entire directing of the shooting of the street scenes, the neighborhood inside Russia's largest TV studio. So there were many junctures at which, I really questioned this. One time our office was taken over by soldiers with AK-47s.
Oh, my God.
Our equipment and scripts and everything were sealed shut. They put a lock on. I mean, it wasn't that we were directly targeted, but we were in the crosshairs of an internal battle to control the TV station in order to control the country.
Yeah.
So here we are with our, you know, puppet show. And so the story itself is really harrowing, and some people who have read it have said to me, you know, it reads like fiction, but it's not. So it's just amazing that, you know, that this is actually true. But it is all true, and phenomenal that we were able to succeed, and that the show became such a hit, and gave so much to millions of children and families.
Well, I think, so, yeah, that's really the bottom. I mean, the goal, you achieved the goal, in other words. You reached out to the audience, the targeted audience. They found it fascinating. They walked away probably with a very upbeat feeling. They've been entertained, and something that I imagine, at least back then when you were there and doing the work. But it also sends a message, Natasha, and you would mention that you know, as you read the book, you scratch your head and you're thinking, my God, why even bother? Look what the obstacles they had to go through. Why these people don't relate the way we would relate, you know, the way American audiences would relate to this. But it sounds like when you peel back the layers and through your hard-earned efforts, you really did hit the nerve and found that audiences were very receptive to it and very open to it, and they enjoyed it immensely, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, most important is that, you know, working with the team, and there was many, many people who worked on this show, Americans from Sesame Street in New York and also from across the former Soviet Union, including Ukrainians and Russians and Georgians. I mean, everybody working together to create this show. And, you know, it gives me solace now to think about, you know, what we left behind, even in this era. And I woke up at 4 a.m. the other night thinking to myself, oh, my God, because I was looking at the images of the Russian men in their late 20s and 30s, you know, who are marching out of Russia now because they don't want to fight and they don't support the war. And those men and, you know, some women, they grew up on Ulitsa Sazam on our show.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then I was, as I was sitting there, you know, lying there thinking, I thought, also on the other side, the Ukrainians of the same age cohort.
Right, right.
And they too are, you know, fighting for their freedom and values self-determination and freedom. And they too grew up on Ulitsa Sazam. They're also the Ulitsa Sazam generation.
It almost sounds like you know, if it could be done, that something like the Muppets would have been, you know, in spite of what's going on and the leadership, if Putin would adopt something like this instead of rifles, guns, and bombs, you know, everybody would be in a better place. But you're absolutely right. It's amazing that. You know, the misery that's going on over there, and so many walking away because they just want to live a normal life. They want to enjoy life with their loved ones, with their young children, and you know, like anybody else.
I was going to say that a lot of people, you know, they say, oh, well, why aren't, you know, Russians protesting? Why don't they get rid of their leader?
Right.
And, you know, what people don't understand is it's a police state now.
Right.
And, you know, many of the people who worked on the show with me had to flee after Putin passed a law against speaking out against the war. Hmm. And, you know, people have to weigh if they can afford to protest. They have to feed their children. They have to survive. And it's scary. And fear is a human emotion. So, you know, all we can do is understand that also.
Exactly. And thank goodness people like yourself and all those that were involved in the production, you know, for a brief moment in history brought immense joy and happiness to a population of people who probably don't see a lot of that the way you know, the way that we enjoy that here in this country. We've only got a few moments left, but let me ask you, I mean, the book is widely available, Muppets in Moscow, Sesame Street in Russia. But if people want to pose questions, find out more information about, you know, the work that you currently do and the work that you've done in the past, especially as it relates to the Muppets in Moscow, how might they do that?
I have a website, and it's just my name, NatashaLanceRogoff.com, and also on Instagram.
So that way, ladies and gentlemen, Natasha's got a broad and well-versed background in production of this sort, and the book really brings it to light, this particular period in her life, in bringing, as I said, the Muppets to Moscow and to a foreign nation under some dire circumstances, something that's not very easy to do. So hats off to Natasha for doing that. Any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to us directly. My read is A. Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. Again, I want to thank Natasha Lance Rogoff, author of the new book, Muppets in Moscow, Sesame Street in Russia, for joining us this evening for a half hour talking about the challenges and yet the joys and the happiness that was brought to so many Russians during her tenure there and then bringing this production to the people of Russia. For the Public Eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in.